join me in reciting the prayer for illumination printed in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. This is a lesson from the Gospel according to Mark. It's chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. You can follow along in page 40 in the New Testament in the Pew Bible. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joses and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went out among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Spend a moment with the children who are here in the sanctuary and those who might be worshiping from home. Our communion rails are closed for communion, so you have to go around the long way. You can follow Mr. Charlie there and come on down. It's good to see everybody. Hope everybody had a very happy 4th of July. Maybe got to see some fireworks, eat some popsicles. Good morning, good morning. Come on up. I'm so glad to see you all this morning. Some of you may be a little young, but I bet some of you play on a sports team. Do any of you play like soccer or any of those sports? Anybody out there play on a sports team or did in the past? There go more hands. Yeah, there we go. I used to play softball when I was 8, 9, 10 years old. Our team was called the Blue Jays. And we would practice, maybe 2 or 3 times a week, and we'd throw the ball around, and our coach would show us how to bat, and we'd run the bases and learn the rules of the game. And then, once a week, we would actually play a game, and we'd put on our light blue uniforms that said Blue Jays. I was number 10. I still remember that. And we'd play the game. It was always really fun. I was thinking about this moment in the Bible when Jesus tells his disciples it's time for them to go out and do some of the things that he did to heal people and to preach and teach and tell people how much God loves them. He'd been with them for a long time, and it was like they were practicing. He'd been coaching them and practicing and helping them learn what life was all about with him. And then it was time for them to put on their jerseys, in a way, and go out into the world and do some of the things that he did. But you know what? When I played softball, after we had that first game, I still had to go back and practice. We had to practice all the time. And that's part of what we do in the church, is we keep learning about Jesus, and we keep learning from Jesus. And then we go back out into the world, and we share Jesus' love. And then we come back to church, and we learn some more. I'm grateful for this church that helps me always keep learning about Jesus. Let's pray together. Gracious God, thank you so much for the church, for giving us people to learn with, for giving us the Bible that helps us hear stories about Jesus and about your love for your people. Help us always to be learning. And then send us out into your world to share what we've learned, to love other people, and to tell the world that you love everybody. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go to Children's Church with Miss Kendall, it looks like. It's opening the door over there, Miss Molly. As I was studying our scripture reading for this morning and poring over these few verses of Mark's gospel, it occurred to me that this is the last time we're going to be in Mark's gospel for a while. Shannon's preaching next week, and he's going to be talking about King David dancing before the ark. And then we're going to spend a few weeks in the beginning of John's gospel and the feeding of the multitudes. And then, since I'm going on renewal leave this fall, I thought I would spend a few weeks in August talking about Sabbath and the commandment to keep the Sabbath and the invitation that God gives us to rest and have a rhythm of rest in our lives. And then, we've already done some praying and planning. We're going to be looking at the book of James and the book of Ruth, and all sorts of scripture texts are coming up this fall. So this is the last time for a while that we will be in Mark's gospel. It's been quite a ride so far. If you've been worshiping with us over the past few weeks, you know the very fast pace that Jesus has been keeping in these chapters. He's been traveling all around the Galilee and all the things that he's been doing to share the good news of the kingdom of God with the people of Galilee. But this moment that we're in this morning in the text actually is kind of a nice moment to hit the pause button. It's sort of the end of Act 1 of Mark's gospel, in a way. Because it's a moment when the disciples of Jesus, who have been following him and learning from him, are now sent out by Jesus to go and do what Jesus does. They're sent out to the villages to preach and to teach and to heal the sick and cast out demons and call people to repentance, to return back to God. And Jesus gives them the authority and the power to go and do that. Another way to put it is that these disciples of Jesus are now also becoming apostles. They're disciples and apostles. Now, that's not anything official, but it's just a helpful way for me to think about this. The word disciple literally means a learner, a student. A disciple is someone who follows a particular teacher or a school of thought, and by following them, absorbs their wisdom and their teaching, learns to imitate them, learns the way. And that's what these disciples have been doing. Not always very well, but they've been doing it. We've been following along with them since the very first chapter of Mark's gospel. We, along with them, saw Jesus heal the withered hand of a man in the synagogue and confront the religious authorities who were challenging him about doing that on the Sabbath day. We've seen him heal others, like the woman with the hemorrhage last week, or the little girl who had died, raised from the dead. We've listened along with them to his teachings. Remember the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the farmer? We've even seen Jesus exert power over creation by stilling the waters of the storm. So right alongside the disciples, we have been watching and learning the way of Jesus and how he does what he does. And we've also recognized that these disciples don't get it right every time. They ask the wrong kinds of questions. They have to ask him to please explain this parable because we don't get it. All sorts of ways they're not getting it. But even so, in this moment, this early in Jesus' ministry, He's sending them out. And the word apostle literally means one who is sent. So they are sent out with a message of good news of God's kingdom coming. They're sent out with power and healing power and the power of reconciliation. And then they come back and tell Jesus all the things they have done. So we see them in this moment as both disciples and apostles. And what's really cool is that if you go back to chapter 3 of Mark's gospel, when he first pulls out the 12 from all the others who are following him, it says that Jesus chose them to be with him and to be sent. To be with him and to be sent. To spend time sitting at his feet, following in his footsteps, learning, being shaped and challenged and transformed, and also being sent out in his name. And I think you know where I'm going with this, because that's us. This is who we are. We are disciples and apostles. As those who want to follow Christ, as the church, we are called continually to be disciples and apostles. We are called to be continually in a posture of learning. We never get to the end of our training when it comes to following Jesus. There is always more to learn, always ways that he is stretching us to love bigger, to step out with more boldness, to be more humble and generous and kind. There is always learning that we are called to do. And so we gather together regularly around the scriptures and worship and continue to be in a posture of learning, to say soft to the transforming power of Jesus. I had a very wise teacher say one time, we're being discipled by something. We're always being discipled by something. But what are you being discipled by? There are all sorts of voices and authorities and gurus and schools of thought that would like to disciple us. And we have to ask ourselves as followers of Jesus how we are making space to be discipled by him. If we've got Fox News or CSNBC on all the time, 24 hours a day, those outlets that want to shape our attitudes toward ourselves and towards other people and toward the world, if we're spending more time on Facebook and TikTok and YouTube or whatever it is that we spend our time looking at and listening to, how are those things shaping our hearts and shaping how we treat ourselves and one another? What are we really allowing to disciple us? That's a question I need to ask myself regularly. What would it look like if we as the people of God made a commitment that every year I'm going to read through all four Gospels? When I go to bed at night, I'm going to read and reread the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, to go to sleep with those teachings and words of Jesus shaping my heart. Or what if we made a commitment to be part of a Bible study every week where we're together exploring the parables of Jesus, not just for information and how interesting they are, but how is this changing my life? How am I being called to live differently because of the teachings and life and way of Jesus the Christ? So this story invites me to ask that question, whose disciple am I? And how am I continually in a posture of learning in a world that wants to push me to certainty? We are disciples and apostles. This story is really more about the sending out of the 12. And there's so much in here, I wish we had time to explore all of it. The fact that Jesus sends them out two by two, they don't go alone. And he sends them out with vulnerability. Just a staff. Not a change of clothes, no money, not even a bag to put a protein bar in. No food, no nothing. They have to be totally dependent on the hospitality of the people they're going to see. They're not sent out with a shield and a sword to convert the world into their way of life, or to tell people or control people. They're sent out in openness and vulnerability to seek out the people Jesus sought out, to spend time on the margins seeking out the lost and the invisible and the lonely and the powerless. They're sent out to proclaim good news. And so I ask myself, how am I being good news to the world? Who are the ones that I'm seeking out, that we are seeking out? How am I going out with a shield and even a sword and my own self-sufficiency? How does this invitation of Jesus push us to openness and vulnerability and dependency on the power of Jesus and on the hospitality of others? We are disciples and apostles. We learn and we go. This morning we're going to be gathering around the table, and this is a place where we are discipled, where we are shaped by the host of this table, who's invited everybody to the table, and where we can come in a posture of humble receiving to experience the radical grace that is for us and for everybody. And then we get up from the table and we're sent out to look for people who don't know they're invited, to share the good news that there is a place for them at Christ's table, that there is healing and peace and hope and belonging and unconditional love that is already theirs. So my friends, as disciples and as apostles, let's come to the table. Let's break the bread and drink the life of Christ. And let's go out into the world to share the good news. And then let's come back again next week and do it all over again.